This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome my colleague Jeremy Zakas in New South Wales, Sydney, to comment on what we know so far of Australia and the variant Omicron. You will recall a week past, Jeremy introduced the possibility that the Omicron had traveled to Australia from a flight that had gone across the Indian Ocean. However, perhaps the Omicron infection had happened on the plane and not before. It was a mystery a week past. There's no clarity anywhere in the world about whether Omicron is another variant like Mu or Beta, which were short-lived threats, or whether it's significant like Delta. Jeremy, a very good day to you in New South Wales. What is your leadership in New South Wales and in Canberra saying now about travel and Omicron? Good day to you.
G'day, John. Well, the good news to start off with is we are not in a snap lockdown. We certainly are just in the same restrictions we had two weeks ago before Omicron. The bad news is that international travel has been slowed down. It has actually been stopped for anybody coming into the country that isn't an Australian citizen. Australian citizens coming back do require to have the 14 days isolation, do require to go through that process that they had to do approximately a year ago as well when we were really in full lockdown. But I guess the big part of this story, John, is now that we know a week on a bit more about Omicron, the Australian authorities, the federal government, the state governments all agree that it may not be as bad as first thought. Now, it certainly is a variant that is spread much quicker through the community. It certainly has that aspect to it. But all the symptoms that the Omicron patients have shown here in Australia have not been that bad. In fact, it's very much on par with the Delta variant, and it's very much on par with the normal COVID virus itself. There's still conjecture about whether or not the vaccinations will work against Omicron like they do against everything else. But from our medical experts, and certainly as it's announced through the federal government, the signs are good. At this point, it looks like Omicron is nothing more than just a more rapidly transmissible version of COVID, but not a more dangerous version. So hopefully, you know, that travel we want so desperately internationally will be restarted soon.
And right now, then, your leadership in the states and your national leadership is not going to a lockdown or talk of a lockdown. Are they recommending masking or remasking or distancing? Anything unusual?
No, and this honestly is the biggest surprise, because when we learned about this pretty much a week ago today, we thought that we would be back in lockdown by this point. We thought we would have masks back on. We would be not out in the community. But after the initial fright that we had a new variant in the community, and we certainly knew that there were at least 8 cases immediately, there's been no snap lockdown. In fact, the only state that had a snap lockdown effectively was Western Australia, but that was very much cut off to the other states anyway, Western Australia being to the left-hand side of Australia on a map. They still remain relatively isolated, but you know what? If we didn't have Omicron, they would probably still be doing this. So for the rest of us, we're still enjoying the relatively good freedoms we have right now.
To the weather, because the story until Omicron came along was that large rainstorms are sweeping the southern coast of the continent headed your way. I see now ABC News is openly using the word La Nina. The way to describe this is weird weather. Meteorologists attribute the latest batch of record-shattering weather extremes to a stuck jet stream and the effects of La Nina weather pattern from cooling waters in the equatorial Pacific. That would be you. You're in the Pacific, south of the equator. Has your weather moderated in any fashion these last weeks? It's coming summer for you.
I wish I could say it had, John, but La Nina is the word right now. And the weather, oh my goodness, we're in summer right now. Let me tell you what summer normally is like. It's sunny days, clear weather. We're getting out, getting ready to go to the beach. But no, we are literally week by week, day by day, we're getting, you know, the heavy rains, we're getting the thunderstorms. This week alone, at least 3 of the days had heavier than normal rainfalls here in Sydney. And what we're expecting to see over the summer is exactly that. It's to the point now that Australia's own Climate Council, which is effectively a body that discusses the weather, the long-term predictions, mainly for the emergency services to prepare themselves, is now warning that this summer is going to have more floods than normal, more cyclones than normal, and effectively there's going to be more coastal erosion and more damage in the inlying areas that get rainfall. So for emergency services to prepare instead of for the bushfires, prepare for the floods. Now, we haven't had this before, John, and this is certainly a sign of the times, I think. So unfortunately, that Christmas Day with the barbecue outside and the sunny weather is looking like a dream long ago.
I puzzle, Jeremy. You reported early on a phenomenon that there was no easy memory of the last time. It was a tornado. A tornado, as I recall, in New South Wales. Then there was another one in Queensland, I remember. I think it's in Queensland. And there was no explanation. That was followed by these torrential, that's the only word, these apocalyptic rainfalls sweeping across Australia. So what they're saying now is that you're in line for even more extremes, such as flooding. Are they talking about your temperatures dropping? Because La Nina is associated with cooler temperatures.
They are, in fact, they're expecting the cooler temperatures to not only bring more of the rain, but as you rightly mentioned, we had tornadoes in New South Wales and in Queensland. There's more warnings about that. We're not out of the woods yet. And these tornadoes came up in inland areas where there had been no tornadoes in recent memory, and they were very destructive. So for us, for our emergency services, everyone is on edge. And there seems to be no discernible end. This could go on literally for months, if not for most of next year.
I read that there is a blizzard warning on Hawaii's Big Island summit, up to 12 inches of snow expected. I did report on Vancouver a week past, where what is called an atmospheric river was flowing up from Hawaii and ramming right into the British Columbia coast, washing out roads, and in one instance washed out a railroad passing so quickly that half the freight cars were down in the ravine. It comes up very quickly with landslides on mountains. Now, you've not had anything like that yet. Have you had mudslides?
No, not yet. But having said that, we have had torrential flooding, which has carried a lot of mud and debris, especially in southern Queensland. And effectively, that's where the coastal erosion and effectively land erosion warning has come out this week from the Climate Council, saying that with all this heavy, unusual rain in areas that are typically dry, we could be facing similar mud flows. And it's interesting the point you make, too, about that river of weather activity causing Hawaii and Vancouver to get the unusual systems. We have our own version of it here in Australia called the Roaring Forties, which is a high wind weather system coming across the Indian Ocean that normally does push the weather from west to east in Australia. But at the moment, the Roaring Forties and that coast and that Indian Ocean system is blowing a lot harder, a lot stronger, and that is effectively making this weather event a lot more extreme than we've ever seen.
Now the summer is upon you, and so is Christmas. You're used to celebrating Christmas at the barbecue, either at the beach or in the backyard. What is the prospect for shortages for Christmas? Are you seeing people moving quickly to buy things? Are you hearing of empty shelves?
Well, we are. And unfortunately, it's probably in the most worst of ways, John. At the moment, the latest warning is that we are going to have a champagne shortage and possibly a spirits shortage for Christmas, to the point now where some of our major liquor dealers are actually limiting the number of champagne bottles you can buy. So at this point, John, if you want to get some champagne for Christmas, you have only 12 bottles to deal with. You can't buy any more. You'll literally be thrown out of the shop. The same might be coming in for spirits. So 12 bottles, John, for an Aussie. Can I tell you, that's just unheard of.
Wait a minute. I thought it was 12 bottles of beer, which seems an extreme amount, but 12 bottles of champagne? That sounds like you could miss a couple of weeks after that.
Well, you know, John, at Christmas time, we like to, you know, branch out, drink something special. So we'll keep the beers in the fridge, you know, just in case. And, you know, this year we'll probably have to keep more of them. But honestly, it's something we're going to have to deal with. And it's quite devastating for the Aussie psyche.
All right. The good news is, as of yet, New South Wales remains open, limited open. Victoria limited open, Queensland limited open, no new shutdowns. La Nina continues to bring unusual weather for Christmas time, and there's a rush on champagne. Jeremy Zakas in New South Wales. This is Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.